Only children are supposed to be scared of the boogeyman. But when a killer is on the loose in a community, everyone has something to fear. An elderly man gets murdered. His wife is badly beaten. The man responsible is caught, tried, convicted, then put away. The community is out of danger. Until the day the convicted killer escapes. In true crime, investigation and conviction may take years. Every detective knows that the crucial clue is always there, somewhere, in the first 72 hours. Alan Legere has just escaped from prison. For communities up and down New Brunswick's Miramichi River, he poses a serious threat.
Alan Legere, over, you know, a period of around 25 years, had built quite a reputation. He had spent most of his life in and out of jail.
Alan Legere was well known to the police community, well known on the Miramichi, not only by police forces, but by everybody. And he was notorious for being dangerous.
Legere escaped while being escorted to a hospital for an ear infection. He had devised a plan that made his condition impossible to treat from the penitentiary.
He would take urine, his own urine, and he would pour it into his ear and make the infection worse. He had taken an aerial off his radio and fashioned that into a handcuff key. And he also used the remainder of the aerial to threaten the prison guards.
He's far from being stupid. That is not a stupid man.
Legere doesn't blame himself for his prison sentence. He blames the community.
I've dealt with several psychopaths over the years. In my investigative opinion, you know, he's a classic psychopath. He doesn't have a conscience. You and I do.
Police fear he's bent on vengeance.
So everybody got together and roadblocks were set up. A contingency plan was put in place.
We had police officers on the ground doing searches of the area. We had helicopters surveying the area, airplanes. But it's a very, very densely wooded area, a very large ground area to cover. And it's easy for one person to move to an area that's not being searched.
Police can find no sign of Alan Legere. Less than 4 weeks after his escape, there's a fire at a Miramichi convenience store. The store is operated by two elderly women who live upstairs. One victim survives the fire, the other does not.
We noted that the victim was found in her bed. Subsequent investigations determined that the victim suffered a broken jaw and had been exposed to some blunt trauma that had caused her death prior to the fire.
Several days pass before the survivor is able to give police a statement.
It was very difficult as an investigator to go. She was in a great deal of pain. 70% of her body, she was covered in second and third degree burns. She lost portions of her fingertips and toes. And she had to be kept on a respirator and in an oxygen tank.
The victim tells police she was sound asleep when the attack began. The intruder repeatedly assaulted her, both physically and sexually. He yelled at her as well, threatening everyone who had ever done him wrong.
The intruder tried to strangle her and rendered her unconscious at one point. She feigned death, and that's when the intruder set the house on fire. She struggled from the bed at one point to leave the house that was on fire. The intruder pushed her back onto the fire. She struggled from the bed again, out the door, crawled down the stairs where she lost consciousness. A very, very strong individual. Probably one of the most strong willed people that I've ever met. The degree of violence in the conversation in the bedroom with the victim that night gave a pretty good indication that we were dealing with someone who had a hatred for segments of the community and who certainly was a local person.
The survivor says her attacker wore a chain around his waist. For police, the belly chain can only mean one thing. The attacker is an escaped prisoner. Police narrowed down their suspect list.
Myself personally, I was absolutely 100% certain that we were dealing with Alan Legere.
Police want to prove that a semen sample obtained from the surviving victim belongs to Legere. But DNA analysis is a new science and has only been used in the United States and Britain.
In Canada, we had an inability to do the testing, so we had to wait until the actual labs were being built.
Soon after the attacks, break-ins are on the rise on the Miramichi.
There were a number of bizarre incidents that occurred over the summer to give you an indication that probably someone was still skulking around in that community.
At the time, people thought that it might have been Legere, but they didn't want to say his name. This is one of those cases where people wanted to be in denial.
Spring turns to summer. By July, people have begun to forget about Alan Legere.
I think the expectation from the community over time was that he may have left the area and he would leave them alone. The community started to let its guard down a little bit, started to be a little bit more relaxed, and things had started to return to normal.
But the police are still on alert.
I was satisfied that Alan Legere was still in the Miramichi area. I don't know if it's the draw of the community or his desire to make people pay for his suffering, but certainly he's not a person that can stay away from that community.
Police need to find Alan Legere before he strikes again. Several months have passed since two elderly women were attacked in the Miramichi. Alan Legere's sightings have stopped, yet police believe he is still in the area. As Halloween approaches, their worst fears are realized. Two more women are brutally murdered.
This is an evil act. It's the 13th of October on a Friday, and it's full moon.
The second crime scene is identical to the first.
What he left is violence. That was his signature. Every crime scene that this particular individual was involved in always dealt with a lot of violence.
Both victims were sexually assaulted. Police again take semen samples into evidence. Canada's first DNA laboratory has now been established. Semen samples from both crime scenes are compared to a hair sample taken from Legere at the time of his first conviction. Police have their suspicions confirmed. There can be no doubt. The killer is Alan Legere.
That he was able to slip in under the radar and commit another crime and us not be able to stop that. It was a tremendous feeling of helplessness, certainly frustration.
Leger now has what he wanted, a community in total panic.
So you got to remember, that type of fear feeds on itself. Now we've got the community that's buying more guns or taking their guns out of the closets.
They were afraid that they may be next. So you saw a community that started to close their windows, lock their doors. People didn't visit each other. Traffic in the community diminished, sort of a barricaded mentality. There was a deep fear that something else would happen.
Police have been searching for Leger for months now, but the convicted killer knows the Miramichi well. He grew up here. Poor and fatherless, he was raised by his mother. When his brother was run over by a truck at the age of 15, Leger's mother told him the wrong one had been killed. Leger has been proving her right ever since.
He had spent a lot of time lurking in the shadows around people's homes.
He made a little contest with himself where he would sneak into somebody's house and go into people's bedroom while they're sleeping just to prove the point that he's able to do it.
He had a reputation of going in and not leaving any evidence behind. He had the whole community terrorized, and for him, that made him feel important. I think Alan Leger, in his own mind, likes the notoriety. He likes to be talked about. He liked the fact that he could go in the morning and pick up your newspaper off your step, and the front page of the newspaper would be all about Alan Leger. He loved it. I think he felt he was really a star. He was an important person.
An emergency town meeting is held. A decision is taken to cancel Halloween. Anyone police catch wearing a mask will be taken in for questioning.
Certainly for Alan Leger, Halloween would have been an opportunity to go out and mingle with the community because he could have worn a disguise.
With Leger still at large, people turned to the church for guidance.
The priest was always a calming effect that when people would come to see him. He was such a symbol in the community. You know, he was somebody that would stand up and people felt safe being around him. He baptized them, he confirmed them, he married them, he buried them.
But one afternoon in mid-November, Father Jones fails to show up for Mass. He proves only too easy to find.
I knew this priest personally, arriving in walking into the house and seeing the mess in the kitchen, the blood splatter. Where the body was lying on the floor. It's something that you will never forget. To see the trauma that was put on that body, the beating that that man received, it actually was a torture. The ribs were severed from the rib cage on both sides, as if somebody would jumped on the body with both feet. It was a scene from hell. This man, he's been a priest for 44 years, and when that happened, you know, the whole community was in such a shock. If this could happen to a priest, it can happen to anybody.
For police and area residents, the only question now is, how many more people have to die before Alan Leger is back in chains? The vicious murder of a Miramichi priest has caused the police and the community to despair. This time, there is no DNA at the scene linking Leger to the crime, but there is a trail of footprints.
There were very clear impressions. So we knew that when we collected that particular piece of evidence, that if we had something to compare it to, we could probably make an identification.
Police also discover Father Jones' car has been stolen. An all-points bulletin is issued for its whereabouts. The priest's car is found abandoned near a train station in Bathurst, New Brunswick, some 90 kilometers away from the Miramichi. Police also find the priest's jacket nearby, along with a pair of boots.
Our job is to do the comparison, and there was enough characteristics on the footwear at the time to identify those boots as having made the impression at the crime scene.
But to connect Legere to Father Jones' murder, police must prove Legere was the one wearing the boots. They get a lead as to his whereabouts.
Our investigation led us to the Bathurst train station and found out that an individual matching a description of Legere had purchased a ticket to Montreal.
Police asked Quebec authorities to stop and search the train. But once again, Legere is nowhere to be found.
He was like the boogeyman. You'd look, but he wasn't, he was never there. He was never there. He was reported, Alan Legere here, Alan Legere there. But we never knew for sure, 100% sure.
You feel like you have no control over the situation here. The person that's committing these crimes has all the control. You have no way to stop them.
No, we were frustrated. We were tired. We were under a lot of pressure. I said, what we need is some divine assistance. Anybody prayed here lately?
A woman then arrives at the police station who may be the answer to police prayers. An hour outside the Miramichi, she stopped to help a man who appeared to be having car trouble. Out of nowhere, a second man appeared. It was Alan Legere. He demanded she take him and his hostage back to the Miramichi. But her car was almost out of gas. At the gas station, Legere took her car keys. What he didn't know was she had a second set. He also didn't know she was an off-duty RCMP officer. Police are determined not to let him slip through their fingers again. Roadblocks are set up.
We find out that he's now commandeered a truck driver. We had police cars converging on the truck, and we know exactly where the truck is heading.
Some of the team had figured he was going to put up a struggle. He was going to fight.
For the first time, things go according to plan.
But I've known the man for many, many years. And I said, wait, when we get him cornered, he's going to give up. He's a coward. He always was.
Police finally have Alan Legere back in custody. The DNA evidence police collected within 72 hours of discovering the first two crime scenes proves Alan Legere committed these murders. But there was no DNA evidence at Father Jones' crime scene. To prove Legere's the killer, police must still connect him to the boots.
We were called to the Miramichi, to the jail where he was being held, and demanded that he give us an inked impression of his bare foot. We were able to match Alan Legere's barefoot impression as having been inside of the boot and putting Alan Legere back to the crime scene.
Police can now prove Legere murdered Father Jones.
Alan Legere used to be into devil worshiping years ago, and he would rant things from the Bible as if he was another person. I believe he's a psychopath. I believe he did it for the thrill.
The deep hatred, the degree of violence, the anger, this need to make someone else pay for all of his hurt.
Not only victimized this particular individual, but it also victimized the entire community.
Why he did it, that question has been asked, I think, of probably every investigator that worked in that file. Personally, I'm not able to give a definitive answer. No one will ever know except Alan Legere.
When Legere's case goes to trial, DNA evidence is admitted in court for the first time in Canadian history.
We collectively didn't realize the impact that this particular case was going to have, not only in our country, but also internationally.
Legere is sentenced to life in prison, with little or no hope for parole. Among people in the Miramichi, the reaction is unanimous.
I would have to describe it as euphoria. They felt that this was an incredible weight lifted off their shoulders.
But not everyone is convinced Alan Legere's story is over.
As I said before, somebody asked me, what do you think he's doing in jail? Well, we know he's in the cell 23 hours a day. We know he gets out for an hour of exercise a day. But also, we know he's planning his next escape.
The stories on 72 Hours are true. The detectives and forensic scientists are the ones who actually worked on the case.